This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
So, haere mai, welcome to the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society podcast. I'm your host today, Haruko Stewart, a member of the Sister City Society and a Japanese Senior Teaching Fellow of the Languages and Cultures Program at Otago University. I'm here today for our 16th episode in the studios of Otago Access Radio, located in central Dunedin. I'm right here with today's wonderful guest, Henry Johnson Sensei, a professor in the music department at Otago University. He's the founder of the Otaiko, or a Japanese Taiko Drums Club, and has been teaching and performing Taiko for countless events all over the Otago region and even in Blenheim with the leader, Sabrina Goh, whom I interviewed in our April the 6th show. I once belonged to the club as well, so I feel like I know a lot about Henry Sensei, but today I would love to find out even more about him. Okay, so Henry Sensei, thank you for coming. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Haruko. Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much. So first thing first, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, I'm Henry Johnson. I live in Dunedin. I work at the University of Otago in music. I started my job as a lecturer back in 1995.
It's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. You haven't changed a bit.
Oh, thank you.
Really, I mean it. I keep saying this one to him whenever I bump into him. Wow. So can I ask you, Sensei, so since he's a teacher, because I respect him and everything. So, Sensei, where do you come from originally?
Oh, yes. That's a good question.
Yeah, right?
Have we got time for a long answer?
Yeah. Oh, you've been everywhere? Okay, I'm ready.
Right. This is interesting.
Yeah?
So I come from a very small island called Jersey.
Jersey.
Jajito.
Wow.
Jersey Island.
Oh, by the way, listeners, he's very fluent in Japanese as well.
So Jersey.
Yeah.
Is one of the Channel Islands.
Okay, so, that sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, Chatham Islands, Channel Islands. Sometimes I used to say, I come from the Channel Islands, and people thought, you mean Chatham?
True. Yeah, it's easy to mix them all up. Ah, yeah, okay.
So,
yeah.
So Jersey is a British island.
Okay.
Technically, it's not part of the UK, not part of the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And its official title is a Crown Dependency.
Oh.
So it's quite complex because the UK is three countries kind of all joined together.
Yeah.
So England, Scotland, and Wales.
Yes.
And Northern Ireland, so four. Uh-huh. Sorry, forgive me, gone in there.
That job. It's okay.
I don't know where I come from.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Wow, it's a nice learning time.
So Jersey is British.
Yeah.
Not part of the UK because Jersey has its own government.
Okay.
So it has its own laws, customs, traditions.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are from that island.
I'm from that island.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you are a British person.
British.
Yeah, British.
Well, I'm a Kiwi now.
Yeah.
So I've been a Kiwi more than I've been British.
True. But you come from that island.
Originally.
Must be very beautiful. Do you remember what it is like?
Yeah, it's a small island.
Uh-huh. How many years were you there? Did you live there?
I was born there and I grew up there.
Uh-huh.
And then we have to... leave the island to go to university. So most people, most students go to the UK.
I see.
I mean, some go to other places in the world, but, you know, it's like anywhere, not so many. A few go to France if they can speak French, because France is just, it's about 20K, 20 kilometers from Jersey.
Oh, not too far.
So Jersey's kind of nestled just in a bay just north of France. So it's closer to France than to England.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
So as a child, we could go to France at the weekends.
That's what I love about Europe, Sensei, because it's like a domestic trip. You can go anywhere in Europe. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's interesting.
So that's where I come from.
But now you are a Kiwi, yeah.
Well, you see,
like you've just said.
most students have to leave the island if they want to go to university or further.
So that
study.
Island doesn't have any universities. Not good enough. I mean, not big enough to.
Not a campus. You can do correspondence study or distance study.
Of course. Yeah.
Now you can. You never used to be able to. But so, of course, once you leave a small island, suddenly you've got the big wide world.
Yeah. And good to go out and to see the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be a very beautiful island, but of course you want to learn, you want to see a lot outside of your world.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the population when I was growing up was somewhere around 70,000 people, so smaller than Dunedin.
Okay.
And the island's about, it's slightly smaller than 20 by 10 kilometers, slightly smaller than that.
Wow.
So it is pretty enclosed, but it's a beautiful place.
Oh, I really think so. I'm in such a beautiful island, I'm sure, because, you know, the way you talk about that island is really telling us it must be a very beautiful island.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got, of course, a lot of nature and the sea.
Oh, the sea is amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
I have very fond memories of the sea. And growing up on the coast.
Of course, I can imagine.
We could just walk across the road.
That's where I want to be. Yeah. I love the ocean, the sea, the bay, everything that is related to water. I love mountains too, but I love a water view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. So you used to swim there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to fish maybe.
I'm no good at fishing. I would go fishing but not catch anything.
But that's okay. It's fun, right?
Yeah. Oh, so from my bedroom window, I could see France.
Oh.
Until they built a house in front of it.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens always when you have a water view. But
and the tide has, I think it's the world's third biggest range in tidal flows. So low tide goes way out. You can walk for a long way.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and high tide, so twice a day it's coming in and out like this.
So you were watching that, like what was happening around you, the nature-wise. So were you a music boy even at that time? Did you listen to music? Yeah, when I talk to you and talk about you, I had to talk about music.
Yeah, of course.
You love music.
Yeah, I love music.
You are
music.
The professor in the music department. You've been playing a lot of musical instruments, listening to a lot of music. So let's talk about your music history, right?
Ooh.
Yeah. So did your parents love music? That's why you were influenced by it. Please tell me about your music history.
Well, my music history.
Yes.
What was my first instrument? I guess at school we all had to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember at primary school we'd sing every day. I don't know.
Like what kind of songs? Everything.
Ooh. Yeah.
A variety of different songs.
Old songs.
Well, please don't say that. We are not that different, I think, when it comes to ages.
And then we had to play recorder. But I remember I used to have piano lessons.
But at school?
It was at school, but it was like a private teacher who would come in and teach. But I never took that too seriously. But it was a good start. It was really
to make you become interested in music.
Yeah, because you get your hands moving, playing different things, and you're listening and learning to read music as well.
Great.
So maybe I didn't take it too seriously, but I think it helped.
Yeah.
I really do.
So it was the beginning of you becoming interested in music.
And then, of course, I would listen to music on the radio.
Yeah. What kind of music, Sensei? Like what, you know, like band's names or singer names, anything, what kind of music, what kind of, you know, who was your kind of, you know, idol, or please tell me more about your music.
Well, I used to listen to the radio and buy LPs. We call it vinyl nowadays.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, I know it all.
So if you know an LP,
how old I am. Wow.
So for anyone who doesn't know what an LP is, it's a long playing record.
Yeah,
and we can call it vinyl. So So the art. So I'd listen to the radio or buy music by vinyl.
Yeah.
Artists. Well, I had so many interests, I think.
Did you like rock music?
Yeah, very much.
Like, which group did you like? Or band or singers?
Popular music, rock music. I had many favorite artists.
Great.
People like David Bowie was really
influential. Oh, yes, of course.
The Beatles, Rolling Stones,
fantastic.
The Who.
I mean, England has got so many great musicians like that.
Yeah.
And they all influenced the world. Yeah, in Japan too.
Yeah.
They were very popular.
And on television, we had music programs. Mm-hmm. So I remember every week I'd be watching the latest hits on the pop charts, popular music charts, and also on the radio, listening it once a week, listening like a countdown from number 40 to number 1.
Oh, yeah. I love that ranking thing.
And bands like Pink Floyd.
Oh, yes. Wow.
I still love Pink Floyd.
Great. Yeah. They are great, aren't they? Yeah.
But also other music, like more heavy music, like Led Zeppelin was really influential.
Yeah.
And some of those musicians are so talented.
Tell me about it. They are still, some of them are still doing their music.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. Yeah. So while you are listening to all those great bands and singers and everything, did you kind of feel like, I want to do this too? I want to maybe form a band or something? Mm. Did you do that kind of thing, like at school?
So I guess the instrument that I took really seriously was the guitar.
Wow.
Yeah. So when I was about 11 years old, I discovered the guitar. So I would have lessons.
Yeah.
And every week, I would take my guitar to school, and I used to.
You were on guitar.
Yeah, my own guitar.
Wow.
And then
you must
I
be
would,
very serious. Yeah.
And then I would walk up a short hill. I don't know when it must have been at lunchtime, and then go and take lessons from my teacher. And we played things. It was more kind of laid back music, a bit of Spanish, kind of Spanish-like music and classical guitar music. And I remember going up there to her music studio and having my weekly lessons. Oh. And she made me sing as well.
Oh, great. So was she like
She wouldn't like it now.
Oh, I'm sure you were good. That's why. I mean, maybe she saw talent in you. That's why.
As an 11-year-old, the voice is very different.
Oh, true. But still, So was she or is she still a professional singer who's got lessons for other people?
Well, at the time, she also had her own, you call it a band or a group. And that included her husband.
Who,
so she also played accordion.
Uh-huh.
And her husband played guitar and accordion.
Yeah.
And then she had a band, and I maybe a year later, mm-hmm. I joined their band.
Oh, wow. You see? She thought, this boy. So this maybe boy is very talented.
So maybe from about 12 to 13, 14, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a couple of other students in the band.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
We used to do some shows.
And nice.
Play at local places.
Mm-hmm.
And,
For the radio too?
No, I don't remember the radio.
Oh.
I remember we had to... We all had to have this uniform.
Like the Beatles. You know, they used to wear kind of the same things for a while.
Yeah, well, that was the era, I guess.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So that was fun. That was really nice. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that.
Great.
Yeah, so I remember one show we did, the group played, and then I had to go and do my... solo singing.
Wow.
Playing guitar. And,
can I hear you singing a little bit?
I don't have any recordings.
Oh, I want to listen to your music too. Well, maybe. another time.
Maybe off air.
Maybe, I don't know, after drinking a bit. I don't know.
Or... karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke.
We went.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
I remember.
Yeah, we went to, what was the name of the shop? Vivace?
Vivace.
Yeah. We did
that's
a
good.
Karaoke party together.
Yeah.
And you were very good.
No,
yeah, that's
you were
right.
Better.
Oh,
you,
no. I don't think so.
No, I'm too shy.
Really? I've never thought that you are shy, but yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah,
as you insist.
Karaoke
is good.
Or karaoke.
Karaoke. We say it like in two ways, in a Japanese way, karaoke and
good.
Karaoke
in
a cute way. We did that.
Mm.
You were great.
That was a while ago now.
I know. Yeah. Time goes quickly.
Yeah. I think you were better.
Please.
You have
don't
the natural Japanese manner for,
what is it?
For performing karaoke. As part of a group of friends.
I know what you mean, because Japanese people do go to a karaoke box or karaoke, whatever, like they've got boxes or they've got a shop or like a bar. They've got in different places, they've got karaoke machines.
Yeah.
It could be one booth, a private one, so that even one person goes there to practice before they make a debut in front of other people in a bar.
So
during the daytime, it's very cheap, so... If you go to Japan and you want to do a karaoke, please go to a karaoke shop in the morning. But anyway, yeah. Have you been to a karaoke shop in Japan, Sensei?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You see, you do like karaoke.
Many times.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You see? Oh, my God. You love singing then.
Well, only in a box.
Yeah, I know, right? No. Not in front of other people. I
think in a bar many years ago in Japan, our landlord took us out to a bar, and he had this exquisite voice. Really, really nice.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful.
Well, a lot of people are good at it because they do practice. They do go to a karaoke shop often, some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not about... It's about friendship, really, isn't
it? To have fun together.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, I think they do that for releasing, like getting, you know, removing their stress as well.
Mm.
Yeah, they say. Yeah. Like, because, you know, I mean, you know that you're a musician, you're a music person. So if you kind of sing or say something out loud, I mean, you can release, you can remove your stress.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Yeah. So they do that too.
That's
another reason. But basically for fun with friends.
Yeah, for fun with friends.
Great.
And relaxing.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been a music person. That's what I thought. And so you went to university in England.
Yes.
Yeah. And so,
Yeah. So various styles of guitar took me through my teenagehood.
Yeah.
And then I discovered classical, or took classical guitar a bit more seriously. And then I did lots of various things, and I performed with another teacher in classical guitar. And then I studied classical guitar at university at a college called Dartington College of Arts. And Dartington College of Arts, it doesn't exist now, but it was in...
Oh, that's a pity.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was in the south of England in Devon. And it was a very, it was a very forward-thinking... It was called a college, but it's like a university.
Of course,
So you got a degree.
Yeah.
So it was a very forward-thinking place. And not only could I study classical guitar, but I could study all other types of music, whether it was practical music making or more cultural studies of music.
Yeah.
And at Dartington, I did classical guitar. I studied Indian music. In our first year, we had to study just about everything you can think of. But then I could focus on playing an Indian instrument.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating. And it was also, we could play gamelan from Indonesia. We had a Balinese gamelan, which was really distinct.
So that university was really specializing in music, or in your music department?
It had three programs. It had music.
Yeah.
And it had art. And it had drama. So it was actually a pretty small place. And it was famed for like other arts. And they used to have a summer school that was very famous for contemporary and, you know, ongoing music of today. But it was at Dartington in my first year that I really first discovered Japanese music.
Oh, I was about to ask you about that, because
I could read your mind.
Thanks. Because, okay, that was his encounter with Indian music. So when the Japanese thing happens to him, I was about to ask you about that. Because when we talk about Professor Henry Sensei, we can't really forget about Japan. I mean, from now on, I'm going to ask him about these things. Yeah. So that was the encounter. Okay, Japan has come
Japan.
Finally in your life.
Yeah.
So at that university...
Yes. I can't recall having a strong interest in Japan before then, but I remember vividly.
Yeah,
we at my first university college. We have to call it. It feels strange calling it a university, but it's a college.
Know. Yeah, because here college is a dormitory, in the US it's a junior college. It's a 2-year university.
So anyway, I'll say at Dartington, there was a weekend Japanese kind of cultural event happening. So they had some movies. I can't remember which movies.
Maybe
they were.
Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah.
Could be in that generation.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Rashomon something.
And they had some displays of artwork. And then they had some musical events. So I was really interested in just acquiring as much knowledge as I could. So I would go to anything, everything, just to get new knowledge about any type of music, any culture.
Wow.
It was just fascinating. It's like this whole world out there.
Oh, wow.
Let's just discover it.
Wow, and something happened to you and you just got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was from living on a small island. It's like...
Well, with 70,000 people, it's not that small. But yeah, sure. Compared to Dunedin and Christchurch.
So I went to a concert that featured koto.
Oh!
There was also the flute called shakuhachi.
Yeah.
So the flute was also there as well.
Well, they did well. They collected everything for that event. Wow.
And it just so happened that the flute, the bamboo flute or shakuhachi player, he had a residency in music at the college. So he was funded, I believe, I'm pretty sure it was by the Japan Foundation.
Oh, yes. They do that kind of
thing.
And
he had this ongoing residency for quite a few years.
Is that gentleman musician the same person as the nice gentleman that we had
a while ago?
A different person.
This is a different person. So his wife... Mm. In England, his wife was a koto player. Now, the koto is a stringed instrument.
Yes.
So my interest in guitar being a stringed instrument.
Of course.
And the koto was this big, it's almost 2 meters long, just 180 centimeters or thereabouts long. And it had 13 strings over it. So I heard and I saw this instrument being played and I thought, oh, wow, that sounds beautiful. And that
was it the first time for you to see koto?
Well, it was the first time that I remember seeing the koto. It was the first time I heard it live. But I'd heard the sounds somewhere before, maybe in a movie. Maybe in a movie or a documentary or a television somewhere. And it was like, oh, wow, that's... That kind of
sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounded familiar, resonated with me. And it was like, oh, wow, I want to know more about this.
Yeah.
And her, so that they were a couple. And he was really, really great performer. And she was also really, really great. And we were very lucky in our first year. Because our... college allowed us to have a study of anything we wanted. And I said, well, can I have koto lessons with the teacher? And she hadn't taught anyone at the college before. And they said, she said, yes, you can study with me. And she was, you know, all the different categories within Japanese music tradition. So she was good, really good.
Wow.
And the college gave me a lesson, half an hour lesson with her every week.
Wow, and that's great.
Yeah, so I that was when I first really discovered this beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
And this really beautiful culture and people. And the language. Of course, I had no understanding of any language or terms. So... Of course, within the first lesson, she introduced me to Japanese music, the notation. So I had to learn.
Oh, Koto has got a special one, right?
Gakufu.
Gakufu.
So I had to start learning the Japanese characters. And the language, and she made me speak some Japanese, you know, and bow.
She is a great teacher.
But she was. But also, what was brilliant is that they had also had a little group. So her and her husband, and then some of the, so he also taught some of the students at the college. And so he taught them shakuhachi. So we had a Japanese music ensemble that was good.
Oh, wow.
So I was more or less accepted into that pretty quickly. And we started doing, again, concerts around the place. We even featured on the BBC once.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, that was really good. And so, yeah, so I got all this introduction, kneeling on the floor to play the instrument, learning the Japanese characters. I still didn't really have any language at all, maybe just just a few
greetings,
words.
Expressions, terms of koto. Yeah.
But it was the sound, the culture that went with the instrument. It was just exquisite.
Mm.
And I still find it absolutely beautiful. I'm not playing now, but I find it so beautiful. Yeah.
My mother has got an instructor qualification for koto. Yeah, I mean, she hasn't played it for a long time, so maybe she forgot that. But I mean, but it's like a how to ride a bicycle, right? Once you learned it, if you actually start doing that again, maybe it comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in her 80s, so I don't know. But
do you know what school? Because koto musicians, they divide into many different schools.
I know.
So there's like a school of performance does something one way. And another school of performance does another way.
Well, I should not have said that because I can't remember that school.
But you know, one school, the school I learned from, they read the music notation from the right to the left in the traditional way, in columns from right to left, going down the page in one column, then moving to the left, going down another column. So that was a very traditional way. And then another school, which I didn't learn from, but then I became very interested in comparing different styles.
Yeah, because they do have differences.
Yeah, another school. Then they turn it around, and they're reading from left to right in rows, like Western notation, but with Japanese symbols.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then another school. Uh-huh. Not so popular school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we wouldn't say which one. Okay.
has a very different system.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So there are lots of different systems of reading notation. Of course, in Western music, you think, reading Western music, and we see everything more or less the same.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Because, I mean, even in karate and in tea ceremony, they've got those different styles, different dojos and different schools, and they do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in koto too.
Very similar. And I think we find in Japanese arts, not just music, but other arts, like you mentioned, martial arts, flower arranging.
Exactly. They do have different schools and different styles.
Yes.
And they all have pride in a good way in their styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you stay with your school.
Exactly. You should stick to that style.
You belong to your school.
Exactly.
And you show great respect, obviously, to your group and your teacher.
Exactly.
The sensei.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that was the time when you started getting really into koto.
Yes.
I've been wondering, so sensei can actually play the koto and play the shakuhachi, play everything. So I thought, okay, how about koto? How about koto? When did he actually start doing koto? That was the time.
It was the university. Yeah. Mm. I think it was the great thing about the place was that they were very open-minded. They promoted all styles of, any style of music.
Yeah.
From any culture, there was
open-minded.
Yeah, and it was the idea that, you know, everybody in the world, you know, there's music everywhere. We all make music.
Open-minded.
We just interpret it in different ways or express music in different ways.
Mm.
We understand it in different ways. Different instruments.
Great.
Different ways of reading notation. if we use notation at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was really impressed to hear that because, I mean, it's an undergraduate course, but they're so free-spirited and so open-minded.
Yeah.
And they even let you take private lessons, you know?
Yes, that's
Wow. It sounds like a postgraduate course, but it's an undergraduate course. But they gave you so much freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exploring, you know, let you explore a lot in the music world.
So the flute, the shakuhachi teacher, sensei.
Yeah, the husband of the koto teacher.
He actually had quite a lot of students because I think many students were also equally attracted to the sounds of the flute.
Mm-hmm.
And this stick of bamboo that could make so many different sounds.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes the sounds were like, it sounded like the wind blowing through the trees or something. Aww. And then you'd change, just move the angle of the flute and you get these beautiful, beautiful kind of harmonic sounds as well. Very, very, just amazing.
That's amazing.
And all different techniques. So I remember we did one performance. I think there were about 10 shakuhachi players, all students at the college.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was very popular. And one girl in my year, she chose that instrument as a main instrument for performance. I think she was the first one to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. So she studied really intensely. And
do you think she's still doing that?
I think so, yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Once you get into music, you are there like forever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now I listen and watch.
Well, I mean, you do play the taiko and the koto still.
Taiko is something else.
So
yeah.
When was the time when you actually got into taiko? Now it's time for me to ask you about taiko.
Yeah, taiko.
It's your big thing now. You're the founder of the group and a lot of people join you.
Well, taiko, which just means drum. Drum.
Yeah.
So I was a student at Dartington, and then I went to London and did a master's degree, and then Oxford for my doctorate. And at that time, well, I think when I was a postgraduate student, there was a performance in London of a group of taiko players.
Wow. From Japan?
From Japan, called Kodo.
Kodo. Oh, I know that group.
Hontoni yume ne.
Oh, my God. Wow. So it's got a very long history then.
Yeah. Even before that, they were still going.
Really?
So this was at, I can't remember the, I don't think it was the Royal Festival Hall, but or Sadler's Wells maybe, a big event center. I think it was Sadler's Wells. And so I saw Kodo play. I have no idea why I went to the...
Well, you were meant to go there.
I don't know why. No. I think, yeah, I can't recall that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I saw a poster or someone said, why don't you go? I don't know. Because we didn't have any social media.
I know. Oh, my God. Was it 80s?
Yeah, very late 80s, And so I went to this Kodo performance. Kodo, the name of the group.
Yeah.
And it was just mind-blowing.
It was
sensational to
see. Oh, yes.
Most of the instruments are drums. Uh-huh. Occasionally they have some cymbals or a bell-type instrument, like a gong-type instrument. And I don't recall any flutes there, but sometimes they bring in... They would have had a flute, but I don't recall any stringed instruments. That's what I meant to say. Sometimes they bring stringed instruments, like shamisen. But that performance, I saw these, from small drums to medium-sized drums to these enormous
How
drums.
Many of them in total, do you remember? A lot?
Somewhere between 10 and, whoa. I can't remember exactly, 10 and 20 drums.
Wow.
And then these pieces of music being played on drums, you might think, that could get a bit boring. But it wasn't boring at all.
Oh, no way.
Because they put into the performance choreography, moving. They use their bodies. So there's all these movements. They use their voice to call interjections or voice, like kakegoe.
Oh, wow.
They use the drums, but they made one drum can make hundreds of different sounds.
Oh.
You know, you hit a drum in the middle, more towards the side. It's a different sound. You can play the edges. So you could create all these different sounds on one drum. And then And then just seeing them, they're obviously very healthy people.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very muscular, a lot of taiko, you know, players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that introduced – and I bought – this is really funny. They sold cassettes.
Oh, wow. Again,
if you remember what cassettes are.
You were talking about records now, cassettes. Wow.
So I bought a cassette. I might still have it.
I'm sure.
I might.
Yeah,
do.
In one of
Unless
your
I've
drawers.
I've given a lot of things away to the Regent book sale.
Okay.
Might have given it away sometime. But I remember buying this cassette. I think I only played it once because you hear the sounds of a drum on a cassette.
And after, you know, feeling so impressed, moved by their live music, I mean, it is different.
So it's live music, there's sound, there's all different sounds from all different sized drums, there's flutes coming in, they're using their bodies, they're moving, they're changing things.
Acrobatic, right?
It's getting there, isn't it? So it's not just an instrument and a player playing an instrument.
It's
whole performance event.
Yes, everything.
And I was like, wow, that's taiko.
Oh.
And then I went to Japan.
Oh, wow, that was quick.
Probably the year after, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I went to Japan with no knowledge, as a postgraduate student, with no knowledge of any Japanese, nothing.
Oh, that's all right.
Nothing. And I went to study koto.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Still
not koto.
Yeah,
but koto.
I know. Yeah, they sound very similar.
Yeah. Koto. Okoto.
Yeah.
So no koto.
Koto means, as you know, sensei knows he's fluent, heartbeat kind of thing, right?
Yeah, kodo.
Yeah. Kodo. Kodo.
Koto.
And koto, Japanese harp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horizontal and you put it on the floor.
Yeah.
Not like a Western harp, like vertical, but still, it's called a Japanese harp. Oh, wow.
So my aim was to do research
for my postgraduate diploma.
So I was really lucky. Do you want me to talk about koto or kodo? I'll tell you about koto.
Koto,
So I went with no Japanese, but I went through an organization that found me a koto teacher, and I could live at their house with their family home. So I could have a lesson every day, and I could watch them.
You always had very nice people teaching you.
Japanese people, so kind.
Oh.
I felt very privileged. Really, really stunned by the hospitality and kindness.
Oh, thank you. Nice to hear.
So I could have a lesson every day, watch the teacher teach, also take part in performances with her group, another group.
Wow.
So that was a really great experience. And then I could have a break from that back in my university. And then I could go back to Japan again. For a much longer period to try to learn some Japanese.
Was it now your PhD?
So I was now a Monbusho Rugakusei.
Like the Minister of Education.
Now it's in those
education
days it was
and science and everything.
In those days it's Monbusho.
Yeah, Monbu Kagakusho now.
Monbu Kagakusho,
But equivalent to the Ministry of Education here. Yeah.
So we had a 6-month language training. At Osaka Gaidai. Osaka Gaigokugo Daigaku
University. Osaka Foreign Language University.
And then a year after that as a foreign student, a rugakusei at one of the universities.
Exchange students.
Yeah. So that was a good experience. So I didn't just study with one teacher. I did comparative work. Now, that's really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
So my academic sensei helped arrange comparison. So they accepted that. That was good because I wasn't Japanese.
Oh. Oh, well. Yeah. I mean, so no borders, like no borders for music, right?
Yeah. So they actually quite like
music
it.
Is the language among you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I'm not good at anything, you know, in music, but I do feel music is really the language.
Yeah.
Like for everyone.
Yeah, music was beautiful. So I could do some comparative work, and that gave me more of a cultural understanding or an anthropological.
Yes, that's what engagement. You actually do specialize in.
Yeah, the anthropology of, or the study of people making music, or the anthropology of music.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
And still at the same time, and another time after that, I could study different instruments, different Japanese instruments, whether it's koto or especially shamisen.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so hard.
Oh, must but I have no idea.
Again, different music, different notations, different teachers, everything. Mm-hmm. But I could really focus on that. But even while I was doing all that comparative work, I was also looking at taiko.
So taiko, your feeling for taiko is still there.
So I remember talking in my interview for Otago University, saying how I thought it would be great for the department to develop its different groups, whether it's gamelan, taiko, or even Western musical groups.
Oh, yes,
ensembles,
of course.
You know, develop this kind of more engaged group performance, regardless of the style. And I remember I was in Japan trying to look around, and I thought, well, taiko would be great.
Mm.
It'd be great for New Zealand.
Taiko is great.
Yeah.
Without you, I mean, the group, taiko or taiko group, I mean, you know, the Hanami Festival, Cherry Blossom Bean Parties, which we've been having, it couldn't be that, like, big and, you know, very happy, like, lively, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, thanks to you. I mean, taiko is really, like, liven up, you know. Don't you think? Like, taiko
lives
up the vibes there.
Yeah.
It adds a lot of flavors to the Hanami Festival itself. Sushi there, sushi, but music. I mean, both of them together, that makes the Hanami Festival
you got
quite
loud,
special.
Loud, dynamic drums.
It makes people happy.
People smiling.
Really.
Movements.
Exactly. I mean, everybody loves music.
That's right.
So, taiko is great.
Taiko is great.
Yes.
It's a great. And
so you talked about these things to whoever was interviewing.
Interviewing
you. So eventually,
more years later, we managed to secure some funding.
Yeah.
Great. Not only from the university here and the different sources of funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we managed to get enough funding to buy some drums.
Great.
And we connected with different people locally to see if they were interested in
being part of
the group.
You do have a lot of taiko drums, like 10, 15?
But brilliantly, the Otaru Dunedin Sister City Society, at the same time, they were visiting for one of the big anniversaries. Otaru City was visiting for one of the big anniversaries.
A delegation came here, right?
A delegation came in 2010 or 11. Which year was it? It must have been end of 2010?
Yes, because at that time I started organizing our Hanami Festival, Hanami Party, and you were right there at the, I mean,
it must have been
at the beginning.
It must have been
2010.
Yeah.
Because I remember you were talking about, we've got so many taiko drums, we might as well, use them.
So they brought three beautiful drums over. I mean, this is 16 years ago now, so it's a long time. They've had a lot of use, and they're still being used. I was playing one last night.
Yeah.
Beautiful drum. So they brought these beautiful drums over and donated them to Dunedin to, I forget how they divided it, but but they eventually became drums as part of, they were given, you know, on a kind of permanently to to Otaiko, to the university's music. So we could incorporate.
The koto as well?
No, the koto, the koto are different. Yeah, the koto are different. We've got, I mean, I've got my own instruments, and then the department has got its own instruments as well. And we were donated one instrument as well, which is being used all the time, actually.
I
it's
know.
Really good. It's get, the instruments get really good use. So that's slightly different. So we've got these beautiful drums from Otaru as well. And over the years, we've managed to get some other drums as well. And Sabrina leads the group. She's led the group for a long time. And
Oh, she's great, been contributing a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Really, really great.
She's loving it. Doing this with you.
That's, So we've got all sorts of things happening. And
you do teach taiko with Sabrina, right? In
Sabrina's
your
the, Sabrina's the sensei.
She's
Otaiko
great.
Sabrina's group.
We talked about it too. Great. Yeah, you've been using those taiko drums and koto harps and everything for a long, long time.
Yeah, some of the drums are getting a little old.
Of course.
So 6 years ago, we re-varnished some of them, but the skins on the top, which make the sound, some of them are getting, you know, really, really old now. They're getting.
Is it fixable?
Not really. Not in New Zealand. You'd have to go to a taiko maker, taiko yosan.
Taiko shops.
And,
or taiko
and get
a, professional,
yeah,
and like get, people
get
who can fix them.
Yeah, get them reskinned. You're better off just simply getting newer drums here in New Zealand.
True. Yeah. You have to have a person who specializes in it.
Yeah, it's a massive job. Really, really specialized.
Of course. Wow, oh my God. And then, so what are you thinking about, like, for your papers, for your department? Like, you've been doing so many things, like, even in your recruitment interview, you suggested that that music department should be really internationalized and, you know, with different musical instruments. So you've been, you know, contributing a lot to the department. Any plans for your papers or for the department, for the music department? You know, what would you like to do in the future? Do you have any ideas or?
Well, we've there's quite a few things going on at the moment.
Yeah.
I think Otaiko does a brilliant job. With Sabrina's leadership and all the dedication of players who give their time and energy to perform. They perform here in Dunedin, and they go on tour. They're going down to Southland next week for a big, for a multicultural performance. So it's really really it's great to see this active music making. Dean San or Dean
Koto player.
Koto Dean's done a brilliant job with his Koto group.
Now, a lot of people, a lot of Q people actually know taiko and koto thanks to you.
Well,
Before taiko, what is it? You know, koto, what is it? But now, taiko, I've been to the station, to the market, I heard taiko people, you know, playing the taiko drums. And, I've seen that there for the marathon, you know, festival or whatever you call
it. If they don't see it, they'll hear it.
That's right.
It's loud.
That's right.
And when they see it, it's like, wow. So many people come and see and they want to get in touch with Sabrina.
Now,
and they'll come and become members just by accidentally seeing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Dean with his Dean does a great job, brilliant job with the koto. He's learned so much. All
he's been teaching as well.
It must I can't remember how many years, maybe 10 years mm-hmm. or maybe 8 years. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But then he comes out to Hanami as well with the koto.
I know.
And promotes that. And yeah. He was doing something in the link with koto. I think it was the link. Promoting koto and yeah.
Oh,
so that's really
you've
good.
You've been doing very well.
And one of your students, uh-huh. Lucy Morris.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, of course. She did a lot too.
She went to Hirodai to study Japanese.
Yeah.
But she before Dean, Lucy mm-hmm. was here,
mm-hmm.
and Lucy got the oke or otago koto ensemble.
Yeah.
She got it going.
A lot of people have been involved.
Yeah, on a kind of more regular basis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been enjoying having you, Sensei, and I know. You say, 56 minutes. Is it long or is it short? It is short. When we have time, it's very short, right? So I wanted to ask you more, but maybe we can have another episode at some point in the near future, because I actually have got so many topics that I wanted to ask you, but 56 minutes really went very quickly. So I hope the listeners, I hope you have been enjoying listening to us as well. So it's time to say sayonara now. Maybe I will invite Henry Sensei again to this program again. So thank you very much, Sensei.
Thank you very much, Haruko. It's been lovely talking to you.
Yes, really. Yeah, I really should have another episode for you, Sensei. I mean, your life is too interesting. So I want to actually have another one in the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. お聞きいただきありがとうございます。またね、待てわ、 See you soon。
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.